El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they are completely unable, paralyzed with fear to go to the places that we go to. I'm Phil Hendry, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard along with me during our news and information hour. And we're going to be starting things off tonight, folks. While we will be talking about the Super Bowl and while we will be talking about the many controversies, which I don't personally think are controversies attending it, we do want to start with Herb Sewell, who is joining us tonight from the San Gabriel Valley in Southern California. This is a story with national import, even though it is a story that is right now local. And you are going to be hearing an awful lot about it, folks. No question as the week progresses. I'd mentioned it a little bit on my Twitter feed. Herb, thank you for joining us. Now, let me just say, and Herb, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Herb, I have to tell you, and I know that you and I discussed you coming on the program to talk about the Super Bowl. I know that you want to get more involved in sports commentary, and you want to get more involved in writing about sports. But there's a situation, as I mentioned to you, here in Southern California that people, if they haven't heard about it nationally, will be. And this is the Miramonte Elementary School. And
I understand, Phil, and I think it's an absolute, I want to go on the record as saying it is an absolutely abhorrent and horrible situation. There's no question about it. And
all right, but I appreciate that, and it is. And I want to let everybody know, essentially, two teachers have been taken out of the school, have been arrested. One has been fired, I believe. And the accusations are pretty vile. On school premises, using children in some kind of horrific-type sex games, feeding these children. I don't even want to. I refuse to mention it. I'm just going to say that this is an absolutely horrific series of crimes. And having mentioned that, what I want to talk to you about, Herb, is number one, I have to tell people that you were incarcerated for sex abuse having to do with children.
That is correct, yes.
And you were incarcerated for some 8 years at Atascadero.
That is correct. Forensic hospital, yes.
Which is a forensic hospital, that is a psychiatric hospital. I understand that you have been completely clean. You are not an offender anymore. You're at a halfway house. You're involved in doing online research for different individuals as a sort of in a subcontractor fashion. And you also are hoping to start a sports writing career. But you were jailed for child abuse, sexual abuse of children.
I was, yes.
Now, we have a story here. These two guys have been taken out of the school, and there may be a third going on at another school in Southern California, and I can't really think of anybody better to ask questions of than somebody who'd been in prison for this.
Well, first of all, I have to tell you, I did not expect to be asked questions about this, but I'm not going to shy away from it either. I have, as I said, and as you indicated your audience, I paid my dues, as the saying goes. I was incarcerated for 8 years, and I was completely, if you want to call it punished, I was punished. Rehabilitated, I believe I was rehabilitated. I'm not an offender. I also am, as you also indicated, Phil, pursuing other career options besides this online research that I've been doing. Now, you want to ask me about crimes of other individuals. I don't think it's exactly fair because it taints me. And
well, I don't mean to do that. I don't mean to do that. And I told you we were going to talk about it, and if you didn't want to talk about it, we didn't have to.
Well, I do want to talk about it because it, first of all, I think it's very important to talk about. Secondly, if I can get on-air time, the more on-air time that I get with you, regardless of what we're talking about, more people hear me, and I am able to develop more of a broadcast sense, a broadcast ability. It's possible that someone in the broadcast world will hear me and eventually hire me in that capacity that you and I have been talking about. So I do want on-air time, even if it's talking about me being a child sex abuser. Now, I'm not proud of that. I'd rather not talk about it, but I'd rather talk about that than not be on the air at all, than be sitting at home on my hands, typing out little research papers for doctors who are 80, 90 years of age, who won't listen to my suggestions, drone on and on and on, and won't shut up while I'm trying to tell them the best way for them to present their research.
So in other words, you've got a pretty boring life.
It's not boring. It's not boring in the sense that I don't like it. It's just one area of it. When I am typing up research papers for the professors that I work for, and when I try and give them suggestions, all I hear on the other end is the beginning of a long soliloquy that's going to go on for these 15 minutes of an 80-year-old man who would do far better than to just shut his mouth and allow me to tell him the best way to present his paper.
All right, so you're on our program tonight, though, and, you know, whatever your problems are there with the doctors you work for, you're on our show tonight, and I want you to talk to me about this situation at this school with these teachers allegedly sexually abusing children in these little sex games they were playing after school, and how it is these individuals can go on for sometimes allegedly years and years and years without being caught.
Well, first of all, you mentioned that they've taken them out of school.
Yes.
I think that's a bad move, and I'll tell you why. In dealing with the educational system, Phil, as I've been dealing, and again, I write research papers for university professors. I do an awful lot of research online for the professors when they do their presentations. At least from the standpoint of the university and the college level, higher education, I see the quality of teachers that we have. Now, if we have many of these doddering old individuals there, I have no idea what it's like at the elementary school level. And I shudder with fright, to be honest with you, what kind of teachers we've got. So to take these teachers out of school before they have been criminally processed, that is, given a trial before a jury of their peers.
Well, are you suggesting that they stay in their jobs?
I'm suggesting they stay in their jobs with proper supervision. To take them out of any situation that would enable them to be in the proximity of these children that they were to do these kinds of sex games. They're very disgusting. I understand that. But I'm speaking to someone who was in prison one time for this, and I know that, you know, if you were to take away my crimes as one who was abusing children sexually, you would be hard-pressed to find people who would find fault with Herb Sewell as an online, as a researcher, as a writer, which is what I was doing, by the way, at that time. And I was doing some sports writing. I was doing some sports column, doing some on-site correspondent work for a couple of newspapers, which I am not allowed to mention, but I was doing.
Were you a beat reporter?
I was doing some football and baseball reporting, yes. But that's all over. I can't do that. I can't certainly mention about that. But I'm hoping to bring myself back to broadcasting. So I would say this. I would say that, and excuse me if I drag this out, because, again, Phil, I'm being very honest with you. The reason why I'm on the air with you tonight is not because I necessarily want to talk about child molestation or sex crimes against children. I want simply the airtime.
Yeah, I know. You want to be on the air to practice your broadcasting voice and to hear and hope that people will hear you in the broadcasting business and hire you. And I need for you to be a little more serious about this.
Phil, I am serious. I am serious. I just don't want to be tainted with the crimes of some other animal that it's not me. I didn't do it. This is some other guy.
No, I totally understand that. And my audience understands that.
Well, I know you understand it. I don't know about your audience.
All right, we're talking to Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is a research assistant. He's a writer and was incarcerated, in fact, for sex crimes against children for some 8 years at Atascadero Psychiatric Hospital. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, and we're discussing Miramonte Elementary School in the Los Angeles area, where two teachers have been arrested. They are no longer at work at the school, obviously. One of them has been fired, and this is something that takes a process, folks, through the teachers union to fire teachers. But nonetheless, What they've been accused of doing, or at least in one case, masking taped the children. This was all a game the children assumed they were playing. And they were told to close their eyes, and they were given their masking tape over their eyes and told to, you know, not to to see what they were tasting.
And my understanding is that what...
Yeah, you can well imagine what it was that they were being given to taste, folks. It is beyond belief. Now, you're saying that those teachers should still be on staff.
I am. I'm saying that only because I've seen the quality of teachers we've got. They are the worst. And if you've got two guys, and I don't know, I don't, but if you've got two guys who, other than that, are excellent teachers, and
other than sexually abusing children.
I'm saying, for the short term, please listen to me, Phil, for the short term, if you keep them away from the children after school, after hours, don't let them do any kind of after-school events or activities. Don't allow them any kind of time with the children that way. But if they're still on staff in the school and they are still teaching the classes, then you can keep a better eye on them until such time as they're incarcerated or otherwise fired, and you've got time to hire a better teacher. But I don't think throwing the baby out with the bathwater is the way to do it.
And I didn't understand it. Throwing the what?
Throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Right. I don't think that's the way to do it. And I think you have to keep them on staff. Now, that's my suggestion. That's number one. Number two is the fact that I am on your program here tonight, and I wanted to talk about the Super Bowl, and I know you said that you had to talk about this, and I wanted to talk about these things. And now I'm back talking about two guys that I don't know. I wouldn't know them if I ran them over with my car. Who've been involved in some illegality that I'm again getting sucked into. So I would hope that there is a statement made every 20 minutes or so, Phil, that I have nothing to do with these crimes, that I am on your program commenting strictly. And
all right, that's fine, but I you might be that's fine, Herb, but you might be overplaying that a little bit. All I want is, as you have said, you'd make yourself available to me commenting on things like this.
That is correct, but I have not been brought in for quite some time, and I am again looking toward a career doing some booth announcing for the major networks, and I don't need this hanging over my head because you don't have people that can comment on it. And
well, I don't have anybody as good as you. You have actual practical experience, you know.
What do you mean by practical?
Well, you've been to jail for it. All right, hold on, Herb. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. So he thinks that even though these teachers have been charged with the most heinous of acts, keep them on staff because good teachers are hard to find. Keep them on staff, but don't give them any kind of access to the children other than teaching in the class and then going home. Herb Sewell joining us. Probably the only formerly incarcerated individual incarcerated for sex crimes against children who is an actual contributor to a news program, a radio program, and he is ours here on the Phil Henry Show. Now, I have told him to keep it well within the bounds of taste, and he will. And we're also going to observe his feelings. He wants to get some comment in on the Super Bowl. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Because you know, and back with me is Herb Sewell here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. You know, Herb, coming on this show means that people are really pissed off, and I am too, at anybody that would hurt a child like that. But you're willing to take that shot.
Well, you said that I would be able to get in my comments about the Super Bowl. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. I can comment on these two animals. I just want to say I'm not an offender anymore. I haven't done anything. These two animals that they've got that apparently they've arrested.
You think that while you call them animals, they still should be teaching because there's a shortage of good teachers?
There's a shortage of good teachers, but you could have them in the classroom teaching and you could keep them under surveillance. They would never, ever be alone with the children. They're only in the classroom doing the actual lessons. There's no after-school activity. I think that is very prudent. I think it'd be done. Because believe me, Phil, the work that I'm doing right now, even with college professors, people at the junior college level, even high school, these are some of the most pathetically untrained and stupid individuals. And if you're saying this is the way it is at that level, it could very well be worse at the elementary school level.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We go to a phone call. We have Chuck. Chuck, go ahead. You're on the line with Herb Sewell.
Yes, sir. This, my comment is this. This guy is coming up here. He's talking about he is some kind of, he wants to get some publicity so he can get a job and all this kind of stuff. You are a convicted child molester.
Well, I'm looking for a sports commentator job. A sports commentator job's got nothing to do with children.
I mean, what I'm saying is, I mean, you're saying these people should be kept in the schools. I wouldn't let my children nowhere near you or anybody else that has anything, any kind of background like you. It's what makes you think that we want to hear you on the radio, period.
But you have to understand the quality of teacher that they're going to replace either me or these other two guys. And I don't know these guys from Adam. I wouldn't have anything to do with these guys.
Because you do the same things that they do. I mean,
I don't. I've been incarcerated, and I'm no longer an offender.
You remind me of Hannibal Lecter. If anybody's seen The Little Silence of the Lambs, this guy...
I've got better things to do, sir, than watch movies.
That's
a fictitious. That's a fictitious character. He didn't exist.
You are the same,
why don't you talk
man.
About people that do exist?
You are the same.
Mr. Hendry, you've got me talking to a man who gets his information about current events by watching movies. And I can tell you, sir...
Well, hold on for a minute. Do you have a better example than Hannibal Lecter, Chuck, or should we move on?
Yeah, you're watching movies, sir. I suggest if you really care about children, I would suggest you read something like Mr. Spock. What's that guy?
If I care about children, man,
you
I
mean Dr. Spock?
Children, I wouldn't let them know
you don't.
You. I wouldn't
no, you
let them
don't.
Know you're, near you.
You. No, you don't. You're watching Hannibal Lecter on TV. No, you don't. You go to movies.
All them teachers. If
you
I was
go to the movies.
District,
you don't care about
I
children.
I would take my children out of that school just like those.
Well, that's
families.
What everybody's doing. That's what people are doing. They're taking their kids out of the school. And
this guy Phil, you said why are you still talking to him? You said if he had anything more to say other than Hannibal Lecter, you'd hang up on him.
No, I'm just asking. Are we going to talk about this or movies? Okay. And
well, this man's talking about someone that doesn't exist, Hannibal Lecter. Now, I can tell you that I do exist, so I've got one up on Hannibal Lecter right there. Although I will say that Hannibal Lecter is a lot smarter than Chuck.
Anyway, Chuck, thank you for your call, sir. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You know, the question was that, you know, are you a rehabilitated guy yourself? Nobody, Herb, when we have you on the air, and you've heard this many times, people don't believe you're rehabilitated.
You know, I can't be responsible for the relative intelligence of your listeners or radio listeners. I come on your show and I go on other radio shows telling people what I know about this phenomenon. Now, I wouldn't have anything to do with these two slobs that they arrested in Los Angeles, which is not to say that I didn't make friends when I was incarcerated.
And did you make friends with guys that were child molesters?
Well, let me put it to you this way. If no one wants to talk to you and the only guy that wants to talk to you is another child molester, what am I supposed to do?
What do you mean, what are you supposed to do? You're making this sound like it's everybody's fault but yours.
I'm not saying that, but if the only guy that will talk to me is another child molester.
All right, so you've got friends, or at least you have friends inside. You can't associate with them outside, can you?
No. No, I cannot. That's why I say I know an awful lot about the educational system, because my days are spent doing these research papers for these college professors, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, who are stunningly stupid, who are almost magnificent. It's almost a record-breaking kind of inability to be a teacher. That's why I know, even if the guy was caught doing what he was doing, we could keep him in there.
But no, these crimes, these guys were... You heard the crimes.
Yes, I did.
And you still think they ought to be...
The quality of teacher that we have today is so bad that even if a guy is a sex predator, but he is a good math teacher... What are you telling me? You tell me.
He gets fired from the school.
Oh, boy, you really don't get it.
What don't I get, man?
If he's a great math teacher, but he happens to be a sex predator, and I know that's serious.
I still fire the guy.
Boy, you really don't get it.
All right. Herb, hang on the line here. Maybe I don't get it, but you can help me get it. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back after this.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And on the line with me here is Herb Sewell. Mr. Sewell is in the Los Angeles area, and that's all we can tell you, because at one point in his life he was incarcerated for sex abuse crimes against children. He is now in a halfway house on probation, on parole, and talking with us from this location about this situation at an elementary school in Southern California, where two teachers have been pulled out of the school now for allegations of sexually abusing children. These allegations have to do with games that were played with kids, tasting games. And
I want to comment on something, Phil. I can tell you right now that I never ever was involved in anything like that. That's number one.
And I know, but I understand that.
And I want to say one other thing. I don't know these guys. I didn't commit these crimes, and I don't like the attitude of some people saying that I'm some sort of that I'm still an offender. I am not. Now, I will tell you that I've been talking about this for the last 40 minutes. You said that I could make comments about the Super Bowl.
You can make comments about the Super Bowl when we get to that point, but right now we're talking about this crime, okay?
Yes, I know that, but if I have to talk to these people about it, and I'm happy to talk to them about it, My suggestion is...
Yeah, your suggestion is don't take these teachers out of the school. Keep them there. Are they out on bond?
I think what you do is you release them on bail, allow them back into the classroom, because the teaching quality is so poor. You understand?
Because the teaching quality is so poor, these two guys that have just been accused of this crime are allowed to be in the classroom to teach these kids.
Yes, otherwise you've got unqualified individuals who are frighteningly under qualified and untrained. Now, I'm telling you, yes, the man's a child molester, but if he's also a crack mathematics and reading teacher, English composition teacher, then what do you do? What do you do? Go. I'll make this a test. 1, 2, 3, 4, go.
I wouldn't hire him.
You failed it. You just failed the test.
No, I don't think I failed the test. I don't think I failed the test at all. The number one requirement is you don't harm children to their everlasting detriment. Here is Tony on the Phil Hendry Show. Tony, here is on the line number one is David. David, go ahead. Let's see. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
I was a teacher.
I love the fact these guys are listening every night. Yes, sir?
Yes, sir. I was a teacher at Woodlawn Avenue School for 12 years. And I quit there because I was like, you know, getting that.
Did you ever learn to read? I'm just kidding.
Herb, let the man finish.
But the problem was that I just couldn't. I couldn't take the kids anymore because I had a problem with like anxiety and getting pissed off at the kids. But I noticed that this guy right here, he's saying that he was a child molester and he was with the kids. Oh, who would have wanted to hire him as a radio dizzer, as a reporter, whatever he's trying to be, when he can't even hold
a sports. I'm trying to be a sports reporter. What's that got to do with being around kids? Yes.
As a reporter, when you're making them taste something that you're not supposed to.
No. That was, I told you, Hendry, that people would start thinking it was me.
Hold on, David. It's not him that did it. We're talking about two other guys that did that.
Well, no wonder
you got kicked out of the school for Alzheimer's.
He didn't say Alzheimer's. He said anxiety.
No, I had.
You have to listen. I didn't do that. These are two other bums. I don't know these bums.
I was simply trying to get a job. The guy that's teaching the school gets checks. He wants to get a real job in the society. Nobody's going to hire that retardo. Because he's not having sex with a kid. Imagine.
First of all, I want to be a sports reporter. I want to do sports commentary in the broadcast booth on football games and baseball games and so forth, all right? What's that got to do with kids?
One, two, three, four, five.
What are you counting?
I want to see how fast this man can answer this question, because he said that he didn't have any major motor sensory problem. I think he does.
No, he did not say that. He said he had an anxiety situation. I'm sorry, David. Go ahead.
The question is, what's sports reporting got to do with kids? Being around kids.
Kids listen to sports reporting, but if they know that there's a child molester that's reporting sports, the first thing they're going to say is, who the hell hired that guy, and what the hell is he doing on the radio? It must be crazy.
But kids listen to what are you talking about? I'm talking about sports reporting, like statistics and all of that stuff, which no kid understands. No kid's going to be listening to that. I'm talking about batting averages and all of that stuff. And I'm on the air, and then you're telling me the kid is so smart he not only knows about batting averages, but he reads the front page of the newspaper every day? Where are you from?
What this man is basically saying is that kids know what their parents are listening to. All their parents have to say, Herb, that guy there was arrested for child molestation. Then what do you think the kids are going to say?
Molestation with that guy. He's a reporter. He's holding a microphone in his hand. He's probably thinking of something else instead of a microphone.
I bet you would. I bet you would. That's for sure. No wonder you were fired, you simpleton. You're simple-minded. And you're trying to ruin my career. You're trying to ruin my career because you're a simpleton.
He's made very, very good points here, I think. David, thank you very much.
No, keep this guy on the air. He's too easy. I want to ask you something. Why aren't you teaching school anymore?
Because I got let go because I had too much anxiety from kids. I can't be around them. So it's not safe.
I don't think it was anxiety. I think it was something else. I think it was more serious. What do you think of that?
I think
it had something to do with what these two guys are charged with. What do you think of that? How'd you like me to paint you with that brush?
We're not going to let you do that. We're not going to let him do it. Thank you, David, for your call. Why would you want to do that?
Because that man was on the air saying that because I want to be in the booth.
Herb, what makes you think you're going to be in the booth someday?
Are you kidding? First of all, no one needs to know what I did. Secondly,
you're on my show talking about it.
Yes, I'm on your show talking about it now, here and now. But 3 or 4 years down the road, no one will know. And I'm on your program tonight talking about it because you said that I could get in my analysis of the Super Bowl.
And that's the only reason. Do you understand the severity of the crimes? I know that you do.
Of course I do.
All right. We're talking about crimes that are similar to what you committed, being committed here in Southern California, the allegations of these crimes at least. And they are vile and despicable, and these two men have been taken out of the classroom. You're saying keep them in the classroom because good teachers are hard to come by. You don't even know how good these guys are. Maybe they stink.
Well, if they stink, then they stink. But I asked you a question that you couldn't answer, nor could any of your other listeners. I'd love to find out if they can. If I have a teacher who is exceptional, absolutely exceptional, at working with 4-, 5-, and 6-year-olds in reading and comprehension, are you going to kick him out of the classroom because he molested children at one time?
Of course you are. Of course you are.
Oh, boy. All right, well, then what we've got walking around is we've got another generation of droolers, so you can feel good about yourself.
No, that's not, oh, boy, another generation of droolers, huh?
That's right. People that can't read, write, comprehend, nothing.
So I can feel better about myself. No, it's not about me feeling good about myself. It's about making sure these kids are safe. Well, you know, I invited him on the program. Our number 877-876-PHIL. The situation is in Miramonte Elementary School in Los Angeles. Two teachers taken out of the school. As a matter of fact, the Los Angeles school superintendent says the entire staff at the elementary school where two teachers were arrested on suspicion of lewd conduct will be removed while the school district investigates. That's the latest tonight. The whole staff. Superintendent John Daisy says 88 teachers and 40 support staff at Miramonte Elementary School are being replaced. He told parents during a meeting Monday night that a full investigation of allegations is disruptive and staffers are also require support themselves to get through the scandal. They will be on paid leave. Wow. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-7445. And this is a difficult story. And the reason why I say it's a difficult story is because you've got, and we almost had a mob scene down there today at that meeting, Herb, between the teachers and the school district. And I understand what you're saying, that the teachers are far, you know, are few and good teachers are few and far between.
Absolutely, they're few and far between.
All right. But you got to know that nobody is going to want a sex offender, somebody who they believe to be a sex offender, someone who has just been taken out of the school for some of the most. Did you read the details of this?
I did, yes.
What'd you think of them?
Well, I thought that there's no question that these men should have been arrested. There's no question at all. And I don't care how creative you are, you're still going to get caught.
And what does that mean, how creative?
Phil, try not to get your, as we say, your panties in a bunch.
No, my panties, what do you mean, how creative?
Look, I know a lot of guys, when I was in prison, did a lot of things. And these guys were the lowest of the low. There's no question about it. Even if they were very imaginative and...
Okay, so in other words, you know... No matter how, okay, so I don't want, you know, what we're saying is you have no problem with these guys being taken out of the classroom.
I got no problem with that, but what are you going to replace them with? You may take a sex offender out of there, and you're going to put a guy in there that can barely read and write. You may take a sex offender out of there, and you put someone in there that was like our friend Dave, who's got an anxiety problem to the point where he's got Alzheimer's or maybe even schizophrenia. You may take a sex offender out of there and put someone in there who is legally an imbecile. Who legally has, with an IQ of 65, is legally mentally deficient. You may have a teacher like that.
And where are you ever going to find a teacher like that?
I don't know, but I can tell you right now that we've got school districts that are hiring people that bad. Now, it's a choice. And
well, I can tell you that, no.
Well, it's the choice. It's a choice. Do you want a legal idiot, or do you want someone who is alleged, to have been a sex offender? That is the question, and that is the question that I think needs an answer, and that is why I said what I said. Now, I have done what you asked me to do. And
all right, but hold on. I just want to be clear on something.
Oh, baby.
Hey, Herb, you know, I've got a couple of questions.
All right, fine.
You know, I don't want to bore you or anything.
No, I mean, I've answered every question you've got. Now, I wanted to get on to the Super Bowl.
This is a very important topic.
All right. What do you want?
You said that because these two men are, quote, alleged to have committed these crimes, they should not be taken out of the classroom, but allowed to continue to teach.
That is correct, yes.
Because they may replace them with guys that are legally mentally deficient or have anxiety problems like Dave or something else. All right. Do you understand the concern of the parents when, even if you said to them, these are only allegations, they aren't proven, every man is innocent until proven guilty, do you understand the concern of the parents? They can't live on such legal niceties. With a child's safety at risk, They need to err in favor of the safety of the child, and that means taking them out of the classroom.
All right. Well, look, if I agree with you, would that get my... You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but if I agreed with you, would that get my Super Bowl segment on sooner?
No, it wouldn't if you're not really agreeing with me.
No, I actually do agree with you, but I'm just wondering...
No, you're saying you agree with me to get your Super Bowl segment on.
No, I actually do agree. I just wanted to know, if I agree with you, can we then start talking about the Super Bowl? That's all.
And if you didn't agree with me?
Well, if I didn't agree with you, I'd tell you I didn't agree with you, and I would just let the chips fall where they may. I don't imagine if I didn't agree with you, the Super Bowl segment would get on much sooner. But it just so happens that I agree with you.
Oh, it just so happens that you agree with me, and you want to know...
Come on, Phil, just give me a break, will you? I actually do agree with you. I agree. After saying everything that I said, now I see the parent side of it. You're right. The safety of the children is paramount. Who cares whether the guy knows how to be a good teacher? Who cares whether the man might be able to turn out actually productive citizens? Who cares about any of that? He may or may not have been a sex offender.
And if he was a sex offender, he wouldn't turn out any productive citizens. You know that for a fact.
Yes. All right, I'll give you that. I grant you everything. Everything.
All right, well, I can't just segue into a Super Bowl segment here.
Well, yes, you can. I can begin to talk, but yes, you can. And
what, but?
Yep, Mr. Hall called. He didn't want to go in here. He said, just go ahead and segue in. You can do it.
How am I going to segue into it?
Bud Dickman, if he's Bud Dickman's there, I told him that what we could do, because I know he operates the broadcast board of your program, what we could do is conclude the conversation, and, you know, it's very unfortunate. I understand that, Phil. I'm not trying to do anything other than to do the very best that I can to try to keep this as, I don't know what you want to call it, try to keep it as professional as possible. So we do have some football music, and I was hoping that Bud Dickman could, through the offices of his being the board operator or the individual who operates the technical aspect of the program, we could then segue into some football music. We'll wrap up and segue into football music.
Okay, how do we wrap up?
All right, anyway, Phil, so that's how I feel, and I'm glad that you set me straight. I'm Herb Sewell, a convicted child molester, but now let's talk sports. Ladies and gentlemen, what the hell is that?
That's the only one I think they had.
What is that? Is that sports music?
No, that's the German national anthem. If I could get the...
That's the one you wanted.
No, that is not the one I wanted. I wouldn't want that.
All right, hold on for a minute, Herb. Don't talk to my staff.
You know, you talk about a mouth breather. This is exactly the kind of guy they have in it.
I don't know which one you're talking about. You want to head up sports music.
That's not sports music. That's not sports music, you mouth breather. That is the German national anthem. The only people that may think that's sports music are Germans.
Turn it off, bud. Turn it off, bud. Turn the thing off. What? Don't you know where the fader is?
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Turn it off. All right. So what we need to do then, Herb, wherever Herb is, I guess we lost the line. But what we need to do then is to do a better. I don't know what David's talking about. A segue.
He said if you're worried about a segue, you talk about sport.
I'm right here.
So, in other words, what I'm gathering you want to do is you want to have some kind of music? Is that right?
Yes, well, it has to be appropriate football music, but that's not going to be the football music that I had in mind. What I had in mind and what I had brought, I thought that I brought to Bud's attention, was a football song from Sam Spence. I think you understand who Sam Spence is. He's a great football composer, and I have a wonderful Sam Spence story.
No, hold on. We have to do the segue, right?
So,
yeah, Mr. Rollins said you got to lock out of the talking about that one, the other one.
All right, lock out, Herb, will you?
Well, why do I have to do it? You're the host of the program.
All right, I'll lock out. Okay, so there is our reporting tonight on this terrible situation, and I'm sorry I ever brought it up. And now Herb Sewell, who is a, is a convicted child molester with sports.
Thank you very much, Phil. Yes, I am Herb Sewell, and it's time now to look at... Hold on for a minute. Now, if you said convicted child molester, I'm the only one that can say that. And
turn it off. Turn the music off, bud, for just a second here. This is rapidly turning into a disaster. You understand that?
Listen, this wasn't my idea. I wanted to come on and talk sports.
What am I supposed to do?
I have to be the one. I don't want you saying it. I say it.
Go ahead.
And so, Phil, there it is for you. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. That's life. It's a terrible thing. I'm Herb Sewell, a convicted... Wait a second. I lost my place. I'm Herb... All right, let me take two. And so, that's the way it goes. That's the way the cookie crumbles. Two scumbags are going down for the count, and I personally am happy to see it happen. I'm Herb Sewell, a convicted child molester. In other news, in sports... It was the New England Patriots and the...
Hold on. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on.
What are you...
Hold on for just a second, man. Don't you want this to sound... Don't you want it to sound like a guy with 5 cents worth of brains put it together?
Yes.
Well, when you lock out and you say, I'm Herb Sewell, a convicted child molester, and go into that music, and now sports, it's just not going to play. What are we doing now?
Got to go to break.
All right, we're going to a break. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445.
I'm Herb Sewell.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We are going to be joined this hour by Vernon Dozier. We also have on the line with us Herb Sewell. We're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl yesterday. In our final hour, in our news and information hour, we'll give you my read on the Super Bowl as I saw it and all the other stuff that went on, none of which amounts to much in my mind, but... And I don't think it amounts to much in the minds of anybody else other than the people that really needed something to talk about today, which was, like the news shows and stuff. The MIA, who is the singer that was on stage with Madonna, flipping off the camera, that was, it was classless, but NBC or the NFL should have expected it. Why'd they hire these people in the first place? That's what I don't get. Secondly, the controversy surrounding Tom Brady's wife, as far as I can tell, what she said was absolutely right. Now, it's not anything Tom Brady's going to say. And so and that's why it was good he didn't say it and she did, and some of the other things. 877-876-PHIL. I want to get on the line here. Vernon Dozier, who's going to join us from Glendale, California. And we're also going to have as well Herb Sewell to talk to us. Just give us some of the things that we were discussing over the weekend last Friday on the Super Bowl and what we were just talking about with Herb. Are you there?
I'm right here, Phil, and I'd like to say hello to Coach Dozier.
And Vernon, you there?
Yeah, Phil, I am here, and it's a little troubling to be on your program with this man. I don't mean any harm, offense to you, sir, but my understanding, the crimes that you've committed, I'd just assume not be on the program with you.
Well, I was told by Mr. Hendry that I would be allowed to make some comments.
We decided that we'd bring Herb on, Vernon on, too, because he is a football coach, and I think we needed something more.
You need something more in what way?
Well, sir, he needs something more in the sense that they need somebody to know something about football. And, again, I'm not trying to offend you, but you have been in jail for child molestation. What are you thinking, Mr. Hendry?
I beg your pardon?
What are you thinking, bringing me on your program? I'm a teacher, all right?
All right, we're not talking about child molestation.
I know we're not talking about child molestation, sir. We're talking about football, but I don't know why I'm on the program with you.
And I'm sorry, Vernon, I didn't mean to upset you. I told him that he could talk a little football.
Well, he can talk all the football he wants. I don't want to be on the same stage with him, okay? I don't want to be on the same stage, and that's... If you understand anything, Mr. Sewell, you'd understand that.
I understand that, and I also understand it sounds to me as if you don't want to be made to look foolish by me. I might have a higher acumen when it comes to football.
Well, that was very funny, Phil.
Respond to it.
Woody, I don't have to respond to anything, sir, Mr. Sewell. I've been coaching football since I was in my 20s. I played professionally for 2 years in Canada. I know that's not much. Canada. Ooh, Canada. Let me explain something to you. I'm going to say it again, Mr. Henry. Why am I on the same program with this man, a convicted child molester?
You don't have to be. I apologize, Vernon.
I would much rather that you not be on the program with me, Mr. Dozier, because what I have to say about football is insightful. It's up to the minute. And what I have to say about football, sir, is based on many years of experience, practical, hands-on experience. And the hands-on experience that you have, sir. Oh, here we go with the old jokes. Haven't heard these. Well, you know what? You know something? I'm going to hang the phone up, Phil. When you get serious, you know.
I apologize.
No, that's all right. When you get serious, you call me back. He doesn't want to be made to look bad. I don't want to be made to look bad. There's no way some freak of nature, somebody that wasn't born, someone that was hatched, or maybe you grew on the bottom of a boat or something. I grew on the bottom of a boat? What's that? On the bottom of a boat. Oh, I see. So that makes me a barnacle of some kind. All right, Phil. Thank you very much, Phil. I'm going to hang up now.
And well, my apologies. I thought it would work out, and I do apologize to you.
That's all right, Phil, but Phil, if you let him hang up so we can start talking about football instead of getting sidetracked by someone who pretends. I'm not pretending anything, sir. I don't need to pretend anything. I know exactly what I'm talking about. What I don't want is to be on a broadcast with an animal. I'm an animal now, am I? Yes, you're not a child. You're a child molester.
I was.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you still are. Okay, how do you like that?
Well, it doesn't make much difference. I'm talking about the Super Bowl now. If you don't have any experience or enough experience in football.
I have plenty of experience in football, sir.
And well, then let's talk football, and why don't you start gasbagging and jawjacking and flapping your gums, because really, it's getting boring.
Ah, it's getting boring. You know what? You want to know what's boring?
Well, look, Vernon, I hate to interrupt you.
No. Whoa. Hold on. You want to know what's boring? Trying to explain to an animal like you what it's like being a civilized man. Yeah, that's right. Trying to explain to an animal like you what it's like being a civilized man who likes to build up life and be with kids to help them.
And not destroy them and be a piece of garbage like me.
Yes, sir. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Now, I thought I might. You're not very difficult to predict.
And I'll tell you something else, Phil. You would bring me on this program to be insulted by this piece of crap?
No, I apologize. And if you want to hang up, and I will say this, Herb, you're done, okay? If you want to keep insulting this man, then you're going to have to do it somewhere else, all right?
Well, then what are we doing here, all right? What are we doing here? Are we jerking gherkin? Are we going to get the... did you hear what he just said? Listen to the...
Would you watch your language, please?
Well, all I've been doing here for the last 5 minutes is trying to calm down Mrs. Dozier here. Mrs. Dozier, huh? Okay. All right, you want to talk football, huh?
That's what I've been trying to do.
But apparently your husband, you insult me one more time.
You know what? Stop it, Herb, right now.
Well, Phil,
I said to stop it. He's right. You have no right insulting this man coming from your background. You're lucky I got you on this show to talk football. You want to talk football? Let's talk football.
He didn't want to talk football.
Well, he does now, right?
I'd be very happy to, Phil. I'd be very happy to run this guy around.
All right, fine. Run me around. I don't care. But let's get to it. So far, all we've been doing here is burning daylight. You know, while we're still young.
Oh, isn't he funny? While we're still young.
All right, who's going to kick this off?
I will.
No, I will. I will.
I will, because I said that I'd be on. I'll do it.
If you don't mind, Phil.
Go ahead. Let's let Vernon do it.
Well, then what am I doing on your program?
You're on my show to talk about football when I say. Vernon's going to kick it off.
Excuse me, but I've got to collect my thoughts here. I didn't anticipate I'd be coming on a program and get assaulted like this.
Come on, will you?
Excuse me?
You want to get on with it? Let's go.
Okay, Phil. You know, I tried.
No, just shut up, Herb. Just shut up.
All right, I'm shutting up.
Can I go?
Go ahead.
The football game that we saw yesterday,
between the New York Giants and the New England Patriots.
Right.
What?
Herb, if you say one more thing, I'll hang up on you.
Why am I not allowed to... Am I supposed to sit here and listen to him drag it out on purpose because he doesn't know it, he doesn't have his information right? I've got my information right, sir. I want to get my information out the way I get my information out and not have you in the peanut gallery, okay? I'm not in a peanut gallery. I actually have a pretty good seat. It's called One of the Guys That's Doing the Show, and I simply wanted you to get to it. I'll get to it when I get to it, and if I hear you say one more thing... I promise you something. Never mind. Phil, the football game that we saw yesterday between the New England Patriots and the New York Giants was a ball game that rolled out in exactly the manner that I thought it would. The New York Giants were going to be a football team that the Patriots could not stop on offense. You mean on defense? On if he doesn't shut his mouth.
Will you shut up, Herb, and let him say what he wants to say?
He's not saying what he means to say. What do you mean I'm not saying what I mean to say? When you said that the Giants were not a team the Patriots could stop on offense, you mean that the Patriots can't stop them on defense? That's what I meant to say, yeah. All right. Why are you yelling at me? I would rather you keep that...
Just be quiet, Herb.
In the football game yesterday, Phil, the game rolled out the way I said it would, the way I told my wife it would, the way I told my friends it would. And I can tell you, whether Mr. Sewell thinks so or not, I know this game, there's no way that Sewell knew how this game was going to go. Would you tell him to shut up?
Just shut up.
The New England Patriots could not stop the New York Giants, so they only had one option, and that was to score themselves. The Patriot offense, which is a patented machine, it's led by a man by the name of Tom Brady. You ever heard that name? Sure you have. Can he throw some touchdown passes? Gee, I don't know. Tom Brady is a guy that can lead that offensive machine known as the New England Patriots any which way he wants. That's what they had to do on Sunday, and that's what they did not do. As a consequence of that, the Giants went up and down that field just about every drive and scored on every drive. And when the Patriots came up short on that second to the last drive of the game, when Welker dropped the ball, that was the end that the Giants needed. They knew they now could get that ball, take it down the field. Okay, that's my initial look at it.
All right, Herb.
The New York Giants yesterday came into this football game completely ill-equipped to take on the New England Patriots. The problem was the Patriots were scared out of their wits. The Patriots were intimidated by the New York Giants on offense and on defense. The Patriots could have used much more of a pressure zone, even a blitzing zone if they wanted to, but no, not the Patriots. No, they don't want to do that. They're too scared of the deep threat. They're too scared of people beating them deep. And, of course, people could beat them deep because they were scared of that. But if they had not been so frightened, if they'd used a little bit more of the blitzing zone, I'm not talking about going on the full man-to-man coverage, I mean a blitzing zone, then they might have been able to intimidate Eli Manning just a little bit. And let me say one other thing before we start dumping all over the New England Patriot defense. They stripped that ball twice and gave themselves an opportunity both times to have field position well inside of New York Giant territory, and both times they came up empty-handed. If you ask me what the turning points of the game are, I say both of those turnovers, which the New England Patriots were not able to get their hands on.
What do you think the turning point was, Herb? I mean, not Herb, but Vernon?
Yeah, you're asking me.
No, Vernon?
What do you want?
Well, what do you think the turning point in the game was?
You know, I am offended that you let him get on here and talk all... You know, he talked good about football, and that makes me look not very bright. And it also, one more thing, it also makes me not look very bright against a guy talking football who also was in prison for child molestation. So this has been a 1-2 punch that, man, I'm doubled over, and I'm holding on to.
Yeah, you're holding on to what?
All right, let's take a break here.
I think you better. No, we're not.
Take a break. We'll be right back with more on the Super Bowl yesterday. An analysis of the Super Bowl is Herb Sewell and Vernon Dozier. 877-876-7445. Vernon seems to feel that the ball game was over when Wes Welker dropped that ball. For Herb, the turning points were the strips, the fumbles by the New York Giants that the Patriots could not take advantage of. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we are with Vernon Dozier. We also have Herb Sewell, who we have instructed. I don't want you, Herb, taking advantage of the situation. You realize that you've got a lot of people listening to this broadcast tonight who don't like you. And, you know, I'm really close to not bringing you back on the show because of the horror of child molestation. The fact that we brought you on this show many years ago to comment on it, and now you're trying to leverage it.
See, that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's hold on for a minute, please. You know, Mr. Hendry is not talking to you. He's talking to me. I said that's exactly what
it. All right, hold on. He's right. Hold on. I don't want you using the opportunity to belittle people or to insult people or anything like that. Do you understand?
I understand 100%, Bill. I'm simply saying that you were speaking to me, not to Mr. Dozier, and I apologize if I was interrupting too much. And see, that's the whole thing. He was interrupting, and he was interrupting at the least opportunity. I was trying to explain the game. Now, I would hope that because of I'm a football coach, you would give me some respect. And I would. I want to give you respect, but you were having, number one, you didn't want to give me respect. I'm not going to give respect to a child molester, sir. Well, sir, then if you don't want to give me respect, but I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut while you take 10 minutes to warm up and get into your topic, and I don't need 10 minutes to warm up and get into a topic. I know about football. I've coached football. Oh, God, here we go again. Then he's going to give me his resume. And
all right, well, you know what? He does deserve that level of respect. By the same token, Herb, you did take a lot of... Look, you're going to be on the air with a guy or not. You could have hung the phone up. You didn't. She's just going to have to deal with that. All right, now hold the line for just a moment here because we're going to get Margaret Gray here. Margaret calling from Santa Monica tonight with her read on the Super Bowl.
Am I to understand, if I could just get in here for just a moment?
Go ahead.
Am I to understand you got him? Oh, boy. She's a woman, right?
Yes, she's a woman.
All right, she's not a sports reporter, though, is she?
No, she is not.
Then why is she on the program?
Excuse me! All right, let's get Margaret. How you doing?
Well, Phil, I'm fine. You know something? You know what I find to be really fascinating? Men tend to become a little panicky. They tend to become a little jumpy, even before they know what it is you're going to talk about. I think that's an interesting aspect to men. They always want to anticipate. They're rarely right. And in this case, they won't be right. And they wind up looking a little foolish.
This is Herb Sewell, Margaret. I don't know that I was told that I would be on here on a three-person panel. That's my only point.
Well, you're not on here on a three-person panel because I'm going to say what I have to say, and then I'm going to leave.
All right, well, that's good news.
And I heard that comment as well.
I'll say it again. That's good news.
And I heard that comment as well.
He's trying to get your goat.
Excuse me, I know how to handle myself.
And that's good news.
So we're in the third grade, is that it?
Right, Vernon, what's the point?
The point is that I didn't, just as this guy Sewell, I didn't know that this was going to be a three-person...
You just said, I didn't know that this is going to be, you sound Italian.
Oh, is that right? Do I sound Italian?
So what if he sounds Italian? But what has that got to do with it? Why don't you say what you want to say and leave? You know, I expect the woman hate from Mr. Sewell because he's so sick mentally, you know. But from you, Vernon, I'm surprised. We used to have a very good relationship.
No, we did not. Not the way you're talking.
And what way do you think I'm talking?
I think you know what I mean.
Well, allow me to go outside and get sick in the sewer if you're saying what I think you're...
I'm not saying understand.
All right, hold on. What's the point of all of this? Okay?
I don't know what he's referring to, but if he's referring to what I think, allow me to go outside and be sick in a sewer.
Are you talking about sex? No, that's what she's talking about. And
Oh, God. Oh, God! Phil, I'm out.
All right, hold on for a minute.
I told you I...
All right, so she hung up.
I knew she would hang up because I brought up something.
I might as well ask you, have two of you had a relationship?
No, thank God.
Then why would you even go there?
Mr. Henry, I'm not stupid. I know I'm treated as if I'm stupid. Every time I come on your program, you treat me...
Oh, my boy, look at him. He's going to start to bawl like a baby. I didn't think I'd see this.
I'll tell you this much, Sewell. I may bawl like a baby, but I'm not above getting in my truck. I can warm it up right now. It'll take about 5 minutes to warm it up, and I can get to wherever you are.
And what?
I'll beat your ass so bad that when you finally do your research work, okay, that you'll have to use your feet, your ears, parts of your body that you would never think you'd have to use to manipulate a computer.
What? What are you talking about?
No. All right, what?
He's got me so angry I can't be creative.
I got you so angry. You couldn't be creative even if you were at peace with the world. Even if you got the head coaching job with the Patriots, which is what I think this is about, because...
Okay, thank you. Just put everybody on hold. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We're actually doing a roundtable here with Vernon, with Herb, and Margaret Gray will be back. But we've got to talk her into coming back on the air. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
If you're going to put me back on with that guy, you better tell me to shut up or I'm going to shut up.
Phil Henry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we're doing our post-Super Bowl analysis. We have Vernon Dozier, who we did actually have scheduled. We brought Herb Sewell in as a last-moment commentator. Not that we hadn't scheduled you, Herb, but we had scheduled you at the last moment, and we did not anticipate having you talking about the Miramonte thing. Margaret Gray has also joined us with an editorial comment as well. Let's start with you, Vernon. I know you had a couple of points you wanted to make.
Well, the first point I want to make, Phil, is number one, there's been an awful lot of yelling and screaming and people making fun of me. And this man, Mr. Sewell, every point that I try to make, you have a man that's been in jail for child molestation, taking his shots, getting his cuties in, getting in his little one-liners, and at every turn, throwing garbage in my face and laughing while I wipe it off, when I wipe down. And what do you mean wipe down, sir? I'm not doing... You allow me to finish a statement without your...
Can I say something?
By the way, Margaret called us back. Go ahead, Margaret.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I hung up, but let me say something. I think Vernon has a good point, Herb. You do need to be quiet.
Madam, I have been quiet.
Excuse me, don't insult me with your pretense to some kind of manners. Don't insult me. All right? Don't insult me.
All right, I won't insult you.
Then don't insult me.
You done?
Yes.
You know something, Henry? The next time you do this...
Call me Phil. I don't like being called Henry.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Excuse me.
Woohoo!
Okay.
Excuse me, Mr. Henry.
Just call me Phil. It's okay.
All right, Phil. I want to say what I want to say, and I don't want to hear the child molester, and I don't want to hear Her Royal Highness interrupting me. That's all I'm asking for.
Then don't be a sarcastic ass.
Excuse me?
I said don't be a sarcastic ass.
I second that. I have not been a sarcastic ass. I haven't called anybody any names at all.
And you called me a child molester.
Well, isn't that what you are?
That's what you are. You have to keep pointing it out.
Would you shut up, please? You too, Margaret.
Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
In all of my life...
Shut up. Now, the point that I was going to make is this, and this is the first good point that's been made this entire hour, talking about the football game yesterday. Now, you listen and listen good, because I'm a football coach, and I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to teach you something that you don't know. Number one, even though I do come from Texas, and that's sort of the South, although in Texas we don't really consider ourselves to be part of anything other than Texas, I should have some sympathy and some respect for SEC football. Well, no, I don't. I don't have respect for SEC football. It could be that when I was playing for East Texas State, every time we played an SEC team, we were destroyed. I don't mean we were just beaten. We were destroyed. And we were destroyed because we were a small school, not because they're so great. But they used to walk off the field thinking they were God's gift to football. I used to laugh at them, man. I'd have blood coming out of my mouth, Phil. I would take hits. I'd take forearms. I would take casts to my mouth. There was one guy they had in the middle, and this was a guy by the name of E.J. Holub. He went on to play with the Kansas City Chiefs. This guy, Holub, would take a cast he had on his right arm. He loved to torture me with it. He would beat my face in until I had no teeth left and just blood pouring out of my mouth. But you want to know what I did, Phil, when I walked off the field? I'd laugh. I would laugh with a mouth full of blood, and I would just look up and go, "Hey, E.J." And, you know, oh, my God. That must have been frightening. Better believe it was frightening. You better believe it was frightening. I scared hell out of that boy.
So you would just go, "Hey, E.J., ha-ha," with just the blood?
Yeah, all, none but blood and no teeth. All the teeth are gone, long gone. I'm not even, in fact, he would powder my teeth out of my face. He wouldn't just knock them out. When they came out as just mists of powder. That's my teeth. So there's no point in going to look for them.
Well, so you're telling us about how you got mutilated. What's that got to do with anything?
Right. We don't need torture stories. And
excuse me, I can make my own points. I don't need you coming up, you know, beside me to sort of be the pilot fish. I'd like you to stay clear of me if you don't mind.
Madam, I'm not trying to get next to you. I can believe me when I tell you that. In fact, there is no getting next to you because your hips act as sort of a natural bumper.
And you know something, Phil? I've taken about all I've...
All right, would you please grow up and just let him finish?
Thank you, because I haven't even made my big point. And
yeah, I know that. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting.
All right. Make your point.
My point is, if you look at the New York Giant roster, guess what? They don't have one SEC player, not one Southeastern Conference player, that's worth a pinch. They do have, you know, DJ Ware, but that's it. And they only have, like, what, eight SEC players.
Yeah,
but one of them is Eli Manning. And would you please, sir, I'm trying to tell you, one of them is Eli Manning. Well, you're a liar.
Well, Eli Manning went to Mississippi.
Gotcha.
Eli Manning went to Mississippi. You're right. He did go to Mississippi.
Gotcha.
But, madam, would you please not do that anymore?
Gotcha.
Would you please not do that anymore?
Gotcha.
Would you grow up, all of you? Grow up.
Not me. I didn't do anything.
All right, the two of you, Margaret.
I just said he got it.
I heard you. I heard you the second time you did it and the third time you did it. And I heard you also, Herb, so you don't need to do it anymore.
Okay, Eli Manning went to Mississippi. What's your point?
Well, you said that there were no quality players that went to the SEC.
All right, there's one. And let me say something else. Eli Manning is overrated. He's over...
Oh, my God! Overrated what? Overrated is what? As a guy that does gardening, maybe he's overrated at giving tea parties. But he's not overrated as a quarterback. I have to agree with that, particularly when you look not just at this game yesterday, but let's talk about the San Francisco game. Let's talk about...
Excuse me. Where do you get off talking to me like you're all, you know, hey, like you're on, what's that show, Pardon the Interruption, or the sports reporters?
Well, apparently someone has got to jump in here with some thoughts that make sense, because you have embarrassed yourself.
I really agree. I don't care if you agree, pervert.
The lady's making a point, right?
Go ahead, argue against my point. Other than Eli Manning, what SEC player is worth a pinch of coon stuff? Okay?
Let's talk about this. First of all, the SEC, which I think is an overrated conference as well.
Thank you.
But I also know that the Big 12, I think, is what's the conference with Penn State?
That's the Big 10.
The Big 10 has more players on the New York Giant roster, so what are you worried about the SEC for?
There, right there. See, that proves it. That proves it.
That proves what?
It proves that the Big Ten's got more players on the roster of the New York Giants than the SEC.
But that wasn't your point.
Excuse me, am I arguing with you too, Phil? I know I have to argue with her and the pervert. Now I've got three of you on me. You know, Phil, I can fight for my life, and I will fight to the death. But if the three of you want, if I got three of you on me, I got three of you crawling on me, I don't know whether I can do it. I don't know whether I can make it.
Oh, poor you.
Listen, I want to get in here because that was my point. And my point was simply this, that the Big Ten, with 12 players on the roster, obviously overwhelms the number of players on the from the SEC. But here's an even better point. Do you know how many players are on the New York Giant roster from the Pac-10? That is the West Coast Conference with USC.
I would imagine they've got quite a few.
Oh, really?
Okay, well, how many?
Three.
You're a liar. The lies. That's the part that I don't like, the lies.
How do you think we're lying? You know, Vernon, because you don't do your homework. There are more players on the roster from the Big 12 or the Big 10 or whatever, you know.
You want to talk about a Big 12, you and I can have a private conversation.
And you know what? You're a vile, vulgar piece of garbage. You really are. And if my husband were here to hear the way you're talking.
Yeah, what is that 80-year-old man going to do?
Well, you know, if you're 80, you can sure as hell squeeze off both barrels.
Both barrels?
That's right.
Well, now, that's some pretty big talk there, pervert. Talking about both barrels.
All right. You know what? I haven't heard. The point you made about the Big Ten is I don't get it.
I said there's only three players.
All right. So what? I think the good point that was made here, and I'm not even sure why you didn't make it, Vernon, was that there are more players on the New York Giant roster from the Big Ten than there are from the SEC.
I was going to make that.
No, you were not going to make that point. You didn't know what point you wanted to make.
I have to agree. You sounded as if you were flummoxed. You really sounded out of it. Hey, you know something? I know exactly what I'm doing.
But if you know what you're doing, then why don't you do it? You said that Eli Manning, you're trying to make a big point about the SEC and say Eli Manning's overrated. Why didn't you bring up the Big Ten?
You didn't know that about the Big Ten, did you?
Ever since I got on...
You did not know that about the Big Ten, did you?
Ever since I got on this program, I've had a pervert crawling all over me. I've had this woman and you, Henry, who I thought would back me up.
I'm backing you up, Vernon.
No, you're not. You let the pervert crawl over me. You let the woman straddle me. You let that woman straddle me like she was the dominant animal in a new litter of puppies.
Okay, whatever that means.
Oh, you don't know what that means?
No, I don't know what that means. I will tell you this. She made a very good point about the number of players in the Big 12 or Big 10. I don't know what the hell it is you guys are trying to say overall. Are you saying the SEC is not a great conference?
That's exactly my point.
Well, you're making a stupid point. Of course it's a great conference. The two teams that played for the national championship.
My point is that was chosen by a computer. Thank you very much.
But so what? You don't have a better system. In fact, I haven't heard you say anything. Mr. Henry's giving you the benefit of the doubt. I haven't heard you say one intelligent thing. Eli Manning's overrated.
And I was just kidding.
No, you were not kidding because I heard the same comment. You really do. Look, I'm not one to go with Herb Sewell. He's a pervert. I think he belongs in a dungeon. And I wouldn't mind if they tortured him some more. But when it comes to football, he's God.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Hold on for a minute, okay?
Are you believing that? I'm laughing, too.
Hold on for just a minute. We got to get to the final point. I've got to take a break. We have to get to the final point that Margaret came on here for, which, of course, was a commentary on the halftime show, as well as Tom Brady's wife and her comments. And Vernon Dozier's point about the SEC is so off. There are 8 players from the SEC on the New York Giant roster. There are 12 from the Big Ten. There's only 3 from the Pac-10. We only bring up the Pac-10 because we're out here on the West Coast. The Pac-10 has ceased being they haven't been a good conference since SC got the death penalty. We'll talk more about it when we come back here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show as we do a recap of the Super Bowl here tonight. Next hour, our news and information hour. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. Famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back. Here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-Phil. We have our news and information hour that will be coming up next hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. And right now, we have Vernon Dozier, we have Margaret Gray, and we have Herb Sewell joining us for our final segment here discussing the Super Bowl. I think it's been interesting. I think what's been happening here...
How can you think it's...
Hold on for a minute, Vernon.
Yeah, but how can you think it's interesting when you've got a pervert...
Whoa, okay?
Hey, Mr. Henry is speaking. What's with a hey? You try to back me down? Step to me. And, hey, listen...
Would you guys be quiet and let me finish? I think what's been interesting is that there has been an awful lot of attacking of each other... in terms of personality and so forth, I haven't heard a whole lot of, I don't know, I haven't heard a whole lot of football being discussed. And
I don't know what you're talking about, Phil. I came on this program and I said that the SEC was not represented, I think, in the New York Giant roster the way they talk like they're all this and a bag of pork rinds, you know. And well, you missed it though, you see. How did I miss it? Because, as Miss Gray said, they are more packed Big Ten players.
Well, and you missed it, too.
Yeah. See? Ha-ha, you missed it, too.
Well, both of you missed it. And, Bill, can I make my point now about MIA?
Yeah, go ahead. Margaret, this is... I want to hear this, because you're talking about the young lady, the singer at halftime that flipped everybody off.
Yeah. MIA is very well known as a very edgy performer. She is a woman of, she has a lot of opinions. She's very well known as an edgy and outspoken performer. There's nothing secret about this woman's ability to spike the controversy a little bit. There's nothing mysterious about this woman and her ability to stir up controversy. So I would say that the National Football League acted very, very rashly. I think the National Football League, to be honest with you, was as stupid as a lot of people think football players are. When they booked this woman, this MIA, not taking into consideration the controversy that she generates, and not taking into consideration the possibility that she was going to do something outrageous that she's done before.
But I don't understand. Why can't the woman show some restraint? Boy, look who's talking. I want an answer to my question. Why can't she show some restraint? Why are you putting this on the NFL?
I'm putting it on the NFL because they should know better. That's what she does.
Well, when you say that's what she does, in other words, you're saying someone comes into someone's living room, squats... And excuse me for putting it this way, but I have to.
No, well, this is what you do. That doesn't come as any surprise.
No, that's not what I do. I take exception to that. I'm trying to make a... I've had to go over the top in this hour because no one's listening to me. I've listened to everything you've said. We've caught you in every glaring mistake possible, sir. And I will tell you... I ask you something. Why do you go... Why do you do that? Why do I do what? You go...
He's right, you do that.
What?
You go,
Yeah, you always go, You sound like, you know, one of these... You sound like a dribbler, you know?
What do you mean a dribbler?
You sound like a man that can't... You can't keep the drool in your mouth. You do... What is that?
I'm talking to you about your performance on the program this evening. You know, it's me catching my... I'm trying to think. I'm, you know... Don't you go,
I go, I don't go,
That's the big difference, sir. We'll say, well, and that's a normal person. But you, because of the multiple perversions of your life,
And the fact that your mind is so rotted out by the multiple perversions you've committed that it's dried up and the only thing you can do is hit that one neuron that goes, Well, wasn't that pretty? That was a wonderful way to dismiss a fellow human being. Fellow human being. Buddy, you got me all wrong. Well, all right, then maybe you're not a fellow human being, you're a fellow what, reptile? Maybe you're a fellow australopoid? Are you a... What did you call? Is he calling me a kangaroo? Is he calling me a wombat or something? No, he's not calling it. Phil, the point that I'm making about this woman, and then I'm going to hang up because I can't... This is what I thought would happen when you get a woman on here. She'll bawl and cry. I feel like crying. I feel like crying the first minute I saw you. So you're fantasizing about me.
Will you people just stop for a moment and let me get Margaret straightened out? Margaret, just finish your point, dear.
I was going to say that she was telling the National Football League when she flipped off the camera. She was telling the National Football League and everyone watching in New York, in the broadcast booth, everywhere. She was saying, this is what you get for being so stupid as to hire me for your cheesy, cheesy, cheesy halftime show. How dare you have me be a supporting player in an homage to Madonna, as Madonna celebrates her own greatness, as Madonna is the high priest at her own high mass. I am MIA, and that's one woman's opinion. I think that's what she was saying.
Well, I think that was a very nice way of explaining it, but I don't think that imbecile I saw today on television, or yesterday on television, would say that. I don't think she had any... Oh, there you go again. You know what? I know I'm going to hell for the things I've done. That's already said. That's already accomplished. I know I'm going to hell. Everyone out there in Radio Land knows I'm going to hell. You all know I'm going to hell. So I'm going to be in hell. When the doorbell rings, I'm going to answer it, and you three, you too, Mr. Hendry, will be standing there, and I'll have the crap-eating grin on my face.
Okay, so he's hung up. Margaret, you there? Vernon?
I'm here. And the way he locked out, what a gutless wonder.
Anyway, thank you very much. It was a good hour.
No, you can't tell me this hour's over with.
Yes, it is.
Well, I still had my recipe.
All right, we'll be back. Our news and information hour coming up. I know I'm going to hell. When I'm there and I hear the doorbell ring, I'll answer it and I'll have the crap-eating grin on my face. We'll be back. I don't know. Is that how we get to hell? You push a button and the doorbell rings? The devil answers. All right. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Think to yourself.
Phil Hendry.
What an idiot.
Broadcasting from the shores of Bell Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Hendry Show. What a night. What a night. But I do thank our good friends Vernon Dozier. I can't think of anybody I'd rather have on the program talking football than Vernon. The other two, Margaret and Herb Sewell, I don't know how that happened. By the way, Bud, we don't have any internet connection now.
What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is we don't have any internet connection. I just lost the internet. Remind me to call up Time Warner. We got to get over to Time Warner and get a business account, okay? We still have a regular internet connection here at the studio. We got a business here, man. Now, I don't know how much they're going to stick me up for, but it's better than nothing, Jack. I'm getting sick and tired of this. And by the way, Time Warner, not for nothing, but you guys with that ad you have where you show your business account option, you show a guy on the phone screaming at someone. He might as well be screaming at somebody at your company. They show a guy screaming, I want my internet connection. This is, would you like better? Do you need better internet connection? Try the Time Warner business account. Oh, great. The dude that's screaming is more likely than not screaming at somebody from your company. Here's a great idea. Why don't you just upgrade your regular commercial service so that everybody has the beauty, the wonderfulness of business connectivity? Or is that what, you know, I get the game, man. I understand. I'm in business myself. You have multi-tier pricing platforms That way you make things seem really... It's a game, folks. It's a game designed to make you think that, ooh, you're getting something that's going to really be special, and they have to really put out to do this thing. It's just a way of manipulating the price, I understand. All right, a couple of things to talk about here tonight. And first and foremost, an update on this situation. Well, you know, we talked about enough of this that we could possibly talk about. The Miramonte Elementary School. I've been talking about this since it broke last week. And I talked about it a little bit on my Twitter feed. And I'll continue. And on this radio show, by the way, we not only talk about things, but we talk about them in ways that sometimes people would rather that we didn't. But that's what we do. This show is a show that presents a satirical view of the world and how news is reported, how news is received, how news is commented on. We do it all on this here show. Now, as far as this Miramonte situation goes, the entire staff, and this is proper. I thought that they ought to just shut the school down, but what they've done instead, they have suspended the entire staff, and that's good too. It's unfortunate, but you can either do that or you can shut the whole school down. You can't do that. The kids need to be educated. So they're suspending the entire staff. They're going to shut the school down for a couple of days, I guess, and they're going to, I would imagine, and I don't have a absolute hard and fast confirmation of this, but I would imagine they're going to bring in other teachers who have no prior connection to that school. I don't know how they're going to do that or exactly what that means. But I do know they have taken the entire staff. They've suspended them. That doesn't mean those people are guilty of anything, but they have to. They gotta get everybody the hell out of there. It's an absolute mess. It is not more than a mess. It's a vicious and horrible crime scene that they've got to look at and assess, and they have to take a look at who the suspects are, take a look at what the timelines, everything, man. This is all there is to it. Now to the football game. Did you guys see that Clint Eastwood?
Yeah, I didn't see nothing wrong with it. I didn't see anything wrong with it either. They're...
Yeah, once again, you can't, and I suppose that this is the job of a political party to make, and I've seen Democrats act just as stupid, but apparently the major criticism of the Clint Eastwood Republicans... Now, Clint Eastwood is about as conservative as it gets in Hollywood. He's not a Hollywood liberal by any stretch of the imagination. For him to appear in a commercial, that's quite an accomplishment. That, you know, Clint Eastwood is an Academy Award-winning director. He don't need TV commercials. Eastwood doesn't have to do television. He is the top of the line when it comes to Hollywood, the firmament, baby, all right? But he decided to do this, and you know he ain't doing it for the money. He most likely, and I would bet money on this, he did it because he liked the message. The message of the commercial, which is a long narrative showing him walking, and then it shows the assembly lines of the various for Detroit and the auto manufacturers. That some of these Republicans would find a political message in that, I lose hope for the country. I really do. I mean, even if they were Democrats, I'd say the same thing. I lose hope. I just, it's like I don't even want to live here. Some of these bastards that can't even let us. Do you remember when Osama bin Laden was dancing in the streets, and rightfully so? There were some jackasses that wanted us to feel bad about it, and they didn't want us to dance, and they didn't want us to be, and we had to feel bad, and we had to be ashamed of ourselves, and how. How dare you? We got all these grandmas. We can't even be Americans anymore and say, we did something good. We killed a... Oh, well, that's nothing to celebrate. We had the Michael Moores and all of those insufferably dull asses telling us what to do. Now along comes this ad by Chrysler at Haft. Everybody loved it that I talked to. I watched it. I'm He's talking about America. He's talking about us, like we were a family, like the things we've been through and the things we can do. But along comes some, and I don't know who, I don't even want to say, so some Republicans had a problem with it. They saw a political message there. Now, it isn't just Republicans. There was a couple of liberals that saw it as well. In fact, one of them had the, I will say, at least he had the guts to admit it. That was this this bore, Lawrence O'Donnell. Well, I see a political message in there, and I think that it's, you know. When I heard Eastwood say, you know, Detroit was down, it had its ass kicked, but now we're coming back. As I watched that, and I was thinking of the crybabies, okay, now I see. They're probably saying that Eastwood Corporation and everybody in the commercial world is giving Obama like he... I didn't hear Obama's name in there at all. Now, you know, Eastwood and people in Detroit, they're making a statement about the auto industry that we're on our way back or that they're coming back or that somehow the country's rebounding. The message also was about the fact that we can do it. This is what we've always done. That's who we are. And he made a statement there that I've always liked. It's an actual saying that I'd seen once before. If we can't find a takeaway, that's the American way. See, nowadays, you can't say it's the American way. You're not allowed to celebrate being an American. As a matter of fact, the commercial, as far as I was concerned, while it was a very good commercial, it didn't talk about the country enough. I didn't hear the country mentioned once. Because if we'd mentioned the country, but if a whole bunch of people would have had heart attacks on that one, for sure. But it was, you know, it was good enough. Jingoism. I despair for a people who are too stupid, and let me underline the word again, who are too stupid to understand the historical importance of a country like America. I despair for the imbeciles that would have you and I, they would beat us into and say that any reference to America's unique place in history, the fact that, yeah, we are the very best country that this world has created, best country that the human race created this country together, because the human race came from all over to create this country. And all kinds of people, country, free people, slaves, indentured servants, from China, immigrants from Africa, all over. And that's a good thing. But we're supposed to feel bad. We can't mention that that's a very unique spot that America occupies on the historical ladder. It's the very best thing that the world has ever seen in terms of self-governance, the best thing that the world has ever seen in terms of a created society. In fact, it's the first time in the history of the world that a country has been created not based upon tribalism, not based upon standing cultural roots. It's the first time a country has been created in the history of the world that it was all about law. Now, you try to get some simple-minded bastard to understand that. This country, this is why, you know, and the beauty about America is the law is the ideal, and it's the law that the ideal is what we are always striving for. Tribalism is something that we bring with us from Europe, from Africa, we bring it from Asia, and that is race, and that is and that is folk dance, and all of these things which do, you know, they have a place in America, but we don't allow that to be the deciding factor. We allow something called law, the Constitution. That's what's the deciding factor. It's all these people that think that religion rules the roost. No, it doesn't. The day that religion rules the roost in America, the country's dead. Dead. The day that religion rules anything in this country, when it is higher than law, we are dead men and women. You trust me. Theocratic rule, and you're on your way back to them. So, unique achievement, and it's all great, and it's all something that we are the caretakers of. We didn't create it. We're a generation removed from the creation of it. We're many generations removed from the actual founders. You just saw a thing on TV tonight, the greatest generation, the World War II generation. We're losing them now at about 750 a day. 750 members military veterans of World War II are dying a day. They're going to be gone soon. And what's going to be... I don't know about you, but that ain't exactly what I call a, you know, an oil painting. I mean, I don't want to run us down, you know. I'm talking about the country now. You want nations. All I know is this. One of these days, the greatest generation, the World War II, Depression era people, they will be gone. And we're going to be left. You know, it's kind of like that, you know, speaking of Clint Eastwood, the movie I quoted the other day, when he stands in front of the guys, he says, the Marines are looking for a few good men. Unfortunately, you ain't it. And that's kind of how times when I take a look at this generation of Americans, you know, after all of the greatness that came before us, and now what do we got? Us. Now, what we do have are the greatest people that I know about are these Iraq and Afghanistan veterans and the people that are coming back, the people that have been there. These are people that volunteered service for their country. They're not drafted soldiers. These are guys that weren't making a lot of money. These are people that decided this is what I want to do. I'm going to fight for my country. I'm not a draft. I'm volunteering. I don't make a hell of a lot of money, but I don't know about anybody else, man. I don't see that kind of public-minded or public-spirited contribution anywhere else. Anywhere else. Singing their praises about this, that, something else. I don't see anybody giving anything to the country the way those guys do. You know. So, you know, the minute you want to feel good about the country and say, wow, that was a really cool commercial. I saw it at halftime. Wasn't it bitching? Yeah. Oh, well, no, that's too political. Why don't you pain in the asses out there? Just do us all a favor. And it for about 6 months out of the year. If we could just cut it down by half, if we could just cut your horse dung down by half, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, keep your big fat mouth shut. When we're having a good time and we're just trying to squeeze a few laughs out of this world, let us do that. And you don't have to always be standing there, the big wet blanket. Now, don't you celebrate Osama going down for the count? And how dare you think that America's so special with the Clint Eastwood commercial? And, ooh, I think I saw the flag waving too much. I think I saw the, you know. Only a free people have the luxury to be so utterly, just to act so utterly dumb the way we do sometimes. All right. I think I've put us down, haven't I?
Yeah, that's pretty, you know. Yeah, you did a good job, man, just ripping into everybody's ass.
Ripping into everybody's?
No, I meant ripping everybody in ass.
All right, thank you. All right, we're going to come back here in a world-famous Phil Henry show with more. More talk about the Super Bowl. We want to get into these comments by Tom Brady's wife, the fashion model. Apparently, she just, oh, my goodness gracious, she just said the most terrible things. And then this MIA bitch and her flipping people off. And I say bitch with all due respect because she's a great artist. And anyway, and the ball game. I need to give you the analysis of the ball game, which I'm sure many of you have already figured out, but just in case you haven't. We'll be back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here in the world. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I find out that Mitt Romney had anything to do with bad-mouthing that Chrysler spot, if he jumped into that fray because it seemed like the right thing to do, that shows me that he hasn't got the sense, to quote Ossie Davis and do the right thing, he hasn't got the sense that God gave a billy goat, which means I ain't voting for his ass. How do you feel about that, Mitt? You know, as far as I'm concerned, and that's the kind of voter I am, it can go either way, Obama or Romney. Some people say, well, they have two completely different philosophies. Yeah, so? I'm willing to try anything, everything. But if this guy's playing politics like a little girl, we got better things to worry about, okay? We got much more serious problems than that. All right. As far as the Super Bowl goes, what'd you say, Robert? You made a good point.
I think you know, as stupid as Herb Sewell, and Herb Sewell about as dumb as they are. I never heard a dumber man in my life. I've never seen a man so dumb. Oh, you're dumb.
Yeah, get to the point.
I'm getting to the point, man. Is he allowed to do that?
Hey, what are you doing, bud?
I'm getting to the point, man.
Just shut up. Then get to the point.
All right. I think he's right about,
Gee, he doesn't even know what he's saying.
Shut up. What I heard Herb say, and I agree with it, primarily because I'm the guy that gave him the idea.
Gee, I told you.
No.
Yeah, I told you. Told you. Ha, ha, I told you. Ha. Wait a minute.
Don't hit him.
Don't tell him to shut up, then.
God, what a baby. Ha, I told you.
Yeah, he does it to me.
Anyway, here's what happened, and there's no question that this was at the heart and the soul as this game progressed. Now, first of all, there was no way as and I didn't know this going in, but as you watch this football game, you realize very in short order, there's no way that the Patriots were going to stop the New York Giants. There's no way in hell they were going to stop the New York Giants. Now, don't give me this stuff about how, well, this defense, that, they, you know, man coverage, zone coverage, it doesn't make any difference. As soon as they went three wide, the New York Giants, you heard the commentators in the football game say, that's a problem because that means that they've got to double up one of those guys. That means they have to go to man coverage. And when you are as crappy on defense as the New England Patriots, when you are so crap can on defense and what's the word that I'm looking for? I guess the opposite of deep.
Shallow?
When you're not deep, no, they don't say shallow. Yeah, we really got a shallow defense. You can say that about a girlfriend. You can say that about a boyfriend. I don't think you say that about a defense. No, they are not deep on defense. They in fact, I think my good close personal friend Dan Northcraft told me Friday they had to start a wide receiver as a defensive back, which that means you don't have enough defensive backs. However, having said all of that, there was no way they were going to stop the New York Giants from scoring. The question is, were they going to score touchdowns? Were they going to score field goals? But that's okay because, first of all, if you looked at the points scored during the year, the Patriots weren't the worst in the league. That means that while their defense gave a lot, they were scoring. The people were scoring field goals on them, and not necessarily touchdowns. The second thing was this: the offensive machine that is the New England Patriots had to get going. They had to play a big game, and they didn't. Especially on that second of the last drive of the game. When that pass to Welker, that was the turning point in the ballgame as far as I was concerned, because as crap can as that defense was, as difficult as it had been for the Patriots to drive the ball on the Giants, they had been doing it, they had the lead, and they had a first down on the 20-yard line with about 4 minutes left if Welker had caught that pass. Now, I'm not going to badmouth Wes Welker. The guy is an all-pro. He's one of the great standout players, the New England Patriots, one of the great wide receivers in the league. But even he said, I make that catch 20 out of 20 times. He was, he was devastated.
Yeah, he dropped the ball.
I know he dropped the ball. You got to make that catch. You got to make that catch. That ball was put where it was put by Brady. There were two defensive players closing on Welker. But he had the first down. All right, we're going to get back to more of this when we come back.
Yeah, I want to give my feeling about a little more of my point of view, too.
No, they already done that.
Well, you guys, I'll be the guy that decides who's given points of view around here. All right, we're coming back with a little more of that. The halftime show, Brady's wife. And, yes, that's right, you heard right, me and Brady's wife. Me and Brady's wife. All right, we'll be right back.
Yeah, you wish.
We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. No, I don't wish. No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I do not wish. No, I do not.
Phil Henry.
Too skinny, huh?
Too skinny.
Phil Henry Show.
What is this?
Come on, man. It's you and Mrs. Brady.
Me and Mrs. Bro. Is this me and Mrs. Jones?
Yeah, this Mrs. You and Mrs. Brady.
Okay, why don't you guys grow up? I didn't say anything about Mrs. Brady.
Yeah, you want to be married to Mrs. Brady, I think.
How many times am I going to tell you guys I'm not into the skinny thing, you know?
Yeah, but you're all me and Mrs. Brady.
Mrs. Jones.
You know, I know a song. I know something about this song. But by the way, welcome back, folks, to the world famous Phil Henry Show. You know, I know something about this song.
Well, yeah, you told. Was he lisping?
How'd you know?
Because I heard him.
Yeah, you can hear him lisping in the middle of the song.
Yeah, he does. He lisps. He goes, me and Mrs. Jones. All right, that's very good, bud.
Wait a minute. It's the Phil Henry Show. It'd be in Mrs. Jones.
Get out of here. Why don't you use that as your new, what do you call it, Iron Swine theme?
Why?
Yeah, why?
I don't know. All right, so welcome back. You want to kill it?
Don't you want to hear Mrs. Jones?
What do you mean, Mrs. Jones? What are you talking about?
That's what she says, man.
Holding hands. Get it. Hey, David.
Why don't you? I want to hear if the guy lisps. If he lisps, it's significant. If he lisps. Oh, wait, here it is.
Get it, get it.
Mrs. Jones. Yep, sounds like a lisp to me.
It sure does.
Doesn't lisp.
Yeah, it does. Mrs. Jones.
Sounds to me like he goes, me and Mrs. Jones. Now, if that's what he's doing, somebody's got to get to the record company. They need to re-record that.
It's only about a 40-year-old song. Get out of here. They need to get to the record company and re-record it. All right, just continuing our discussion of the Supper Bowl. By the way, did you see the Puppy Bowl at all?
Nah, man, the Puppy Bowl just made me want to buy a dog.
Yeah, me too. Every time I see the Puppy Bowl, I want to get a puppy.
That's true. That is true. The Puppy Bowl is fantastic, and I missed the Puppy Bowl this year, although I'll probably watch a repeat. They've got a replay of it on Animal Planet. But yeah, you know, every time you see the Puppy Bowl, you definitely want to have a puppy, man, because they've got some great dogs there, and they're all different sizes, aren't they?
Yeah, well, the thing they do is they start out with a little tiny tiny ones, and then they have a bigger and bigger one.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean they have bigger? Oh yeah, okay, yeah. So they...
Yeah, they'll have like a German Shepherd ones later on.
Well, I saw one puppy bull where... Do they bring them all together at the end?
Yeah, at the end they have them. At the end they have a puppy off.
Yeah. The puppy off is to see what puppy, you know, scores the most puppy point.
What, are you guys serious?
Haven't you ever seen it?
Of course I've seen it, but I'm not keeping track of puppy points. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, man, if they get across the goal line with something.
Yeah, they got to either carry a stuffed mouse or like some kind of something, some chew toy, and they carry it over and they get a point. Well, at the very end, they get the puppies that won the first two rounds or whatever. Then they stick them all together.
So that's why they have, like, the bigger puppies and the little puppies?
Yeah, they all have them together, and they'll see which one had the most puppy point.
Oh, I didn't know there was an actual winner of that thing.
Yeah, and the guy that's the referee, that guy's the producer.
I knew about that. What's the guy's name?
I don't know. I forget.
Okay. I didn't know there was actual points. I knew that they would score points, but... And I know that if you went in the water dish... What the hell am I doing? Is this... You're telling me that...
Yeah, that's a penalty.
It's a real penalty. So do they take the puppy? They do. They take the puppy off the field, don't they?
Yeah. If they go in the water dish, if they pee or take a dump in the water dish,
no puppy's taking a dump on camera, have they?
I think I saw one time, but I'm not sure.
Oh, you did not. If they take a dump in the water dish,
yeah, that'd be a penalty.
Well, I hope so. So, great. Do you guys know who won? Who won this year? Listen to me.
I think it might have been a Labrador.
Okay.
I think it was a Whippet or a Labrador.
Get out of here. All right, so the Puppy Bowl, I didn't know that they were actually keeping score. And I did see, you know, like the big puppies, the little puppies, and all the puppies in between. But you sure as hell want to get a dog, man, if you don't have a dog after you see that, man. And my good friend Barry Louise, man, she just got a little, can I say this dog without getting into trouble?
What?
Well, I mean, this is how it's called a Shih Tzu.
Oh, man, you just done it now.
Yeah.
Oh, grow up. She got a little puppy, and this guy talks, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, he not only goes, bark, bark, like a little dog, but he'll mumble things. He'll just talk. You ever heard of things like that?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, they say that dogs started talking because of humans. Or, I mean, barking.
What?
No, that's right. Robert's right. I read a thing, and it's something that dogs developed. Wolves that, you know, obviously dogs come from wolves. Wolves do not bark the way dogs do. Wolves are very quiet, and so are coyotes, for that matter. And it's for obvious reasons, because they live out in a dangerous world, a world full of natural enemies. They're also predators, so they don't make a lot of noise. They howl when they are trying to find their pack, or when they're injured, or when they're alone, or when there's food. So they make these kinds of noises to alert the pack, to tell the pack where they are or where the pack should be. But they don't bark all the time. This is something that dogs developed over the course of time. And the reason is because dogs, as they became domesticated and became a part of the human family, far more a part of the human family than they were of the canine family, they began to develop these barks because humans are verbal.
What do you mean? They started talking like we do?
Well, they're not talking, but because we're verbal, dogs in their own dog brain became verbal too. They began to make noises too, and these noises are specific to humans. They warn of danger. They tell us they need food. They tell us that they need to go and take a pee or something. They say that sometimes it's a bark of greeting. But all of these things came about as the result of their proximity and their life with human beings. It had nothing to do with being an animal. So when we talk about, you know, the evolution of animals, we're not just talking now about the physical evolution, because humans bred these dogs from the wolf that they used to be. By the way, do you know when you look at a wolf, and let's say you look at a dachshund, they're pretty different looking, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they only look like the same animal.
Right. After all of this crossbreeding that humans have done to create these certain kinds of domesticated canines that we need, dachshunds they would go after vermin. You know, we'd use small dogs for vermin or to tunnel or to hunt things that were small rats. A dachshund's really different from a wolf because we bred the animal to look like that and to be that kind of a breed. Well, the same thing is true of food.
What are you talking about?
The original, you know, corn on the cob that we eat?
Yeah.
That looks nothing like the corn that we found in the wild when we were still hunter-gatherers and we were beginning to be farmers. The corn in the wild is no bigger than your thumb, if that. Maybe even smaller than that.
So they made it bigger.
Of course. Because we found out it tasted good. So as we learned about corn, as we learned about how it grew and what were the right conditions, we kept on growing the corn that had the bigger fruit or the bigger vegetable and or whatever the hell what do you call that thing anyway?
Like a cob, man.
Yeah, like get a cob wedged.
Ha, 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 ha. So yeah, so dogs, food, whenever human beings get a hold of something, man, we make it bigger and more expensive.
In fact, what did a Cadillac look like originally in the wild?
What did a Cadillac look like originally in the wild?
Only had one black guy driving it.
Why, you lousy?
Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. I told you I'd kick his ass.
Oh, shut up, bud.
You know, someday I'm going to kill you, man.
He's kidding. You know, bud, one of these days, as I've said...
Yeah, you keep saying that.
You know, one of these days I ain't going to pull him off of you, and you will die, and you will deserve it.
But I did, wasn't that bad?
What? Yeah, it was a racist comment, you know?
Oh, yeah, man. It wasn't even funny either.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was not funny. What did the Cadillac look like originally in the wild? Only had one black guy driving it.
Yeah, as opposed to now. But they share it.
Shut up, man.
You know, you're lucky he's just playing. God. All right. What else? Aha. Then we have Mrs. Brady, and we also, of course, the situation there with that kid, that MIA. I just want to say the thing about MIA. Did you see that?
Yeah, she flipped everybody off. Big deal.
The thing about her is, and this is something that I know from personal experience, and what I mean by that is this. I'm not saying that I'm a great world-class talent. I just know that the show that we do is the show that we do, and we've done remote broadcasts where we've gone places. And this has not happened for a long time, but it happened. The last time this happened, it was about 18 years ago. And I said to the people, we were doing our show, we were doing a live remote broadcast, and they took exception to some of the material that we were doing. And they even threatened to pull the plug on our broadcast. And I said, well, you can do whatever you want, but why did you invite me here in the first place? And, well, Mr. Henry, we're inviting all of the radio stations. I said, I understand that, but this, I'm doing the show that I always do. I'm doing a show that I do on the air and for my audience. And if it's something that offends you, then you should never have had me here in the first place, because it just doesn't make any sense. And so the reason why I say that is the NFL made exactly the same blunder, and they... You really got to get your head out of your ass, NFL, and quit counting your money, all right? Quit counting all the money you're making and start figuring some things out, because if you don't want that kind of behavior, then don't invite people like that. Madonna, too. I mean, that point was made today over and over by a lot of people. It's a damn good point. That's what they do. That's the kind of artist they are or is or am. And that is how it's going to play. You can't, oh, we're very sorry, and we had no idea. The hell you had no idea. You know exactly who these people are. The problem with you, and I'll say it again, is you guys think that all this is, the Super Bowl is just one big fat money-making machine. And all you got to do is sit back and count all the 20s, and it's just a beautiful thing, you know, and just hire anybody. And then when something happens that's outrageous, when you bring into our living rooms and into our homes some piece of unacceptable behavior, and then you're like, oh, well, we're sorry, and we didn't mean this, and we didn't mean that. And by the way, NBC and CBS, the rest of you jackasses, what I would do if I were you, which, of course, I know you're not taking my advice, but you ought to, is every time you get the schedule for this thing, and I know you do well in advance, and you find, okay, look at, we got Madonna, we got, now who's to say they're not going to pull? You ought to consult with the league and with the people that are producing the entertainment at halftime, and say to them, from, because you have far more experience producing entertainment than the NFL, other than football games, the NFL, they only know halftime shows. And you should consult with them and give them your feelings on the matter, because you're going to wind up getting fined by the FCC like you did with the Janet Jackson thing. All right, so that's my advice. You can take it or you can leave it. Now, our final thing will be on the Brady Bunch. That is Mrs. Brady and the other part of the bunch, that is Mr. Brady, and the comments that she made to the press following the Super Bowl on why the Patriots lost. And would you be surprised if I told you that I agree with Mrs. Brady? We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What day do you get the Cadillac?
Shut up, baby.
Well, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And by the way, we would invite you to join us online at philhendryshow.com. I haven't even mentioned our marvelous website. philhendryshow.com not only has thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of archived full shows going back over a decade, we also have our live video cast every night, which we are doing right now in HD, Phil TV in HD. So you can watch us performing the show. You can also watch our five-day video archive and listen to the podcast. We've got a five-day podcast archive there for you. Of course, everything goes into our audio archive, our video archive, 5 days. And that way you can catch up on what you missed. So join us at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass to literally the most interesting radio show in the world to look at. That's for damn sure. And we feel is right up there in terms of absolute smashing quality with some of the great shows of all time. Whether you want to mention the, you know.
Yeah, those shows.
All those shows, exactly. Okay. So let's see. Today's Monday, so that's it, baby. No more football, and that's fine with me. I mean, you know, all good things must come to an end. Got to move on. Got to grow up. Got to get back into the swing of things. There's work to do. There's places to go and people to see. And I don't know about you, but I don't live, eat, sleep, and crap sports. It just isn't what my life is made out of. Now, I like football because it's once a week. I can deal with that. Baseball, I like in the middle of the summer. The beginning, I could care less. Hockey and basketball, I only get into at the playoffs. Golf, whatever. Golf, I only watch.
But you watch Wimbledon, right?
Yeah, I watch Wimbledon.
Wimbledon? What the hell is that? That's tennis.
No, man. What's the British one?
The British one? That's the British Open. Wimbledon.
No, the one from George's Wimbledon.
Yeah.
No, that ain't the one. You guys, you don't know anything, man.
You expect me to know about golf and tennis, man. They don't let black people down in none of them clubs.
Yeah, they do. They let them in now. They got two whole black golfers down there now.
Wow.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Wimbledon.
Wimbledon is tennis. That's in England, and that's in June. And speaking of tennis, thank you, bud. Yeah, that's the only time I get into tennis. I get into tennis when it's Wimbledon, when it's the U.S. Open, when it's the whatever the hell else they got. What are the other ones they got?
Australian Open and French Open.
Okay. The Australian Open's in the wintertime. Our winter, their summer. And
what do you mean?
I'm not going to explain it to you, bud. It'd take me years if I start getting into that. Australia has it in the middle of our winter. The French Open, the Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. Okay, but I'm not talking about tennis. I don't give a sweet you-know-what about tennis. Golf, I'll watch. Golf has the Masters is what you were talking about, bud.
The one in Georgia.
That's the Masters. So I don't even get into golf except for the four biggies. The Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA, the British Open is in July. When the hell's the U.S. Open? Yeah, in June.
What?
Just slow down. The Masters is in April, the U.S. Open is in June, the British Open is in July, and the PGA Championship is in August, okay? I watch those.
What about the L.A. Open and stuff like that?
I don't know. Yeah, sometimes I watch the L.A. Open. The other ones that I watch, you know, whatever's on the tube, man. You know, sometimes I watch the ones from, you know, like Florida. And
the Walt Disney World one?
Yeah, the one from Disneyland.
What do you mean the one from Disney? You mean the Walt Disney Open?
Yeah.
I don't care.
That's the best one there is.
No, it ain't. Maybe you think so because you could go down to Disneyland. You think there's something, you know?
Disney World is what I meant.
Whatever, man. No, I don't give a crap about that. I don't know. You know, they used to have back in the day. I don't know if they still have the, you know, they had these so many different kinds of tournaments in Florida, but there was Inverness, then there was the Miami, then there was the Central Florida, there was the Bay Hill Classic. I watched that one. You know the Bay Hill Classic? That's from Orlando, right?
Yeah.
I worked as a construction worker in Bay Hill. I remember when we were there, this was back in the early 70s, and I was working for Old Man Thyssen, I told you. And we were down there pouring concrete. We were pouring cement deck, pool decks and driveways and all that crap on all those houses down there.
Those houses are billion-dollar houses and stuff.
There's some sweet houses down there, man. And when they were building Bay Hill, the houses, we were there and we were pouring all the concrete there. I remember he had a lot of contracts for that. But you know what's funny about that? I don't remember, and it could be that the houses were not all built. I don't remember it being all that palatial. But I do remember the golf course, and I do remember it was designed by Arnold Palmer, and I do remember working there because there was one roofer on one job, this guy that was dancing on the roof. I used to think that roofers, you know how they say about guys that the Mad Hatter, you ever heard the term Mad Hatter?
Yeah.
Well, they say that Mad Hatters were crazy because there was a chemical they worked when they used them when they were making hats. Well, guys that are roofers, they're up there with all that hot tar all day long. I think they're half nuts, too. This guy, I remember working in Bay Hill, and this one roofer was up there. He'd be dancing all day long. And I would think, yeah, mm-hmm, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. All right. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. That's right. The Phil Hendry Show is also available to you online at philhendryshow.com. Get yourself a backstage pass and know what all the fuss is. Know what everyone's talking about. Be a part of it. Don't be a part of it. Get some sleep. That's probably the best advice I can give you right now. And don't forget, we'll be back tonight with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and a free shot glass. We're giving one away. It's Phil History Month. Until then, adios, Dick Clark, all that.
Phil Hendry.
Dick Clark!
I don't...